Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 55. Now, right now, I want you to think of your favorite meal, okay? Your favorite meal. You can have anything. Any amount of food is there before you. That's all your favorites. And oh, one other thing, calories don't count, okay? So, keep in mind, this food could be from something that your spouse makes. It could be something that your mom made when you were growing up. It could be from your favorite restaurant. Think about whatever your favorites are going to be. Now, for me, start off with rhubarb sauce, something that my grandmother made. She had rhubarb growing on either side of her driveway all the way down. And she made this rhubarb sauce. There's no strawberries in it. It's just straight rhubarb. And, well, now, quite frankly, now that I'm diabetic, I can't imagine how much sugar she put in that to make it so sweet. But that would be one. Then my wife, she makes an amazing beef stroganoff. Love that. Some of my own barbecue chicken that I like to make. Then also, too, with the biscuits that go along with that, well, my daughter makes this amazing banana peach jam. It's great stuff, great stuff. So I'll have that. Then, besides that, well, I like French silk pie and maybe even some, well, from Savannah, they'd say pecan pie, right? Pecan pie, I like that. And that would all be there before you. Now, that's my favorite meal. Now imagine, if you will, when you're going in to sit down at this meal, it'd be like a restaurant in Savannah called Mrs. Wilkes. Mrs. Wilkes is an amazing place. Now, when you go up there, they only serve lunch, and they're open from like 11 to 2, and that's it. But people are lined up down the block to get into this place. Because when you go in, they have tables that seat anywhere from 12 to 14 and more. And so they ask how many are in your party, and they go sit you down there. And then everybody else who sits at that table is in line behind you. So you can have all kinds of people from all over the country eating food with you. Now, what's so amazing about this place is that when they put the spread there before you, they just come out and start setting it out there on the table, family style, in bowls. Now, normally if you see something that you really like, you might want to be tempted to put a big heaping of it on your plate. But you can't. Because you see, if you want to get a little bit of everything, you can only put a spoonful on there. And the reason being, last time I went there were 23 different food items on the table. Now, that gives you a good idea about what is happening here in our Old Testament lesson for today. Isaiah, he's sitting there talking about all of this here and having this, and when you're thinking about all these amazing foods there in front of you, it'd be like when you're there at the restaurant and you get up here and you're like, well, who do I thank? You know, you go up there because when you get up to the line to pay for your meal, you find out it's already paid for. And so you're looking around. And so it is here in our Old Testament lesson, same thing too. He starts off this way, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Well, it begins there with an invitation. Come. Somebody out there is walking by and they're saying, come. It's kind of like those who are hosting the coffee hour there after church here. They're coming saying, come, you know, come join. I want you to sit down in here. Come and visit and eat. That's what's happening. You're receiving that personal invitation. And then it says, come to the waters. Notice that word is plural there, waters. What does that suggest? That suggests that there's more than an abundance there. So your thirst will be quenched. Your thirst will be satisfied. And the next thing, don't have any money? Come anyway. Come buy and eat. Buy wine, buy milk without money and without price. You're thinking, well, how could that be? Well, think of it this way. You're at the grocery store. You start filling up your cart. You get all your things in the item, and you go there to get checked out. And so they're scanning everything, all your food there, and they're sacking it up for you so you can go home. And then when it comes time to pay, it's already paid for. They rang it up, and you got charged nothing. That's what's happening here. And so the question then comes again. Who is it that you thank? Now think about what's going on here in Isaiah. Who would you think there? Well, if you go two chapters earlier, to chapter 53, well, who do we read about? Well, in chapter 3 of Isaiah, 53 of Isaiah, we read about the suffering servant. We read those texts on Good Friday, do we not? Verses that say, "He was despised and rejected by men. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace." Indeed, those verses are read on Good Friday. And to whom do they refer? It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who received those stripes upon his back. He's the one who wore the crown of thorns. He's the one who was nailed to a cross and died. Why? Well, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Iniquity, that's talking about sins. Whenever you see iniquity in the Old Testament, think of really bad sins. That's what that's referring to. And so through his chastisement then, what do we receive? Peace. Forgiveness in exchange for his punishment. That is what bought the meal, that bought the food that we may feast on one day in heaven. But at the same time, while all that fare waits for us up there in heaven, what is the food that we should eat now here on this earth? Well, the good food that is spoken of is none other than God's Word. It's the richest affair. Now, God tells us that, well, that food there, that's what we need to eat, His Word, and not waste our money on things that do not satisfy. And the food that does not satisfy are the false teachings that are out there. Like those who say that there are many paths to God. Well, or you need only be a good person and God will have to let you into heaven. Or like those who say, "Well, I'm a child of Abraham too, but you don't have to believe in Jesus in order to get into heaven." Well, some people say things like, "Well, Jesus didn't die for all of your sins. You made too many sins and God's not going to let you into heaven." You see, all of those kinds of ideas are out there. And those are all false ideas, false things. They are lies. Lies in order to separate you from your faith. Lies designed to keep you from digesting the true food that is found in your Bibles. The richest affair that directs your attention to Jesus. You see, through God's Word, we learn that the price has been paid for. The price for our entrance into heaven is taken care of. Listen now to verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah. "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I'll make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, my sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples." Well, God's saying here, come, sit down, listen to me. Why? So that your soul may live. I'm making a covenant with you. I'm making a promise with you. And what was that? None other than the reason for why Jesus came. That he would forgive your sins. That he would give you the hope of everlasting life. Indeed, Jesus died for the forgiveness of those sins and rose from the grave alive, giving you that promise of everlasting life. And when were those promises made with you? When was that covenant made personal with you? In your baptisms. And so what then does God expect in return of us? Well, he starts off with David. Remember him? God said that he made him to be a witness to the peoples. David was a witness to the blessings of God. And now listen to verse 5. "Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." God's saying something interesting there, is he not? You shall call a nation that you do not know, a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Well, what does this mean? Think of it in these terms. The table is set. The food is there. Everything ready to be feasted on. And you see, it's already been paid for. It was paid through Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. And now God is saying, I want you to be a witness. I want you to tell others about Jesus. I want you to invite them to the banquet. Think about it now. Who says there's no evangelism in the Old Testament? It's right there in front of you. So how do we go about this witnessing to others? Well, we follow the example that's laid down here in Isaiah. Remember, the meal doesn't cost anything. Jesus paid for it. And even though he did, it doesn't mean that the money that we give here at church isn't important. We still need to have lights on here. We still need to have air conditioning. We still need to send repair guys out to fix our organ, right? All those things are important. You see, our church needs to be an inviting place, and your contributions help make that happen. Your gifts don't buy your way into heaven, but rather your gifts help invite others to come and eat at Jesus' table. And the other thing is, actually invite people to worship, to Bible study, to the coffee house that we had the other night, to VBS. You see, most folks don't come to worship unless they are personally invited by you. Now, don't let the excuse be, well, all my friends are Christian. They already go to church. Really? Do they go to church? It's amazing how many Christians actually do not. You see, you can ask the Lord to create a conversation for you with somebody else, giving you an opportunity there to invite somebody to talk about Jesus. You know, if you pray to the Lord and ask for that, I can guarantee you he's going to honor that request, and you'll have opportunity to share Jesus with others. And if you're nervous about that when that time comes, remember who's in you, the Holy Spirit, guiding your thoughts and your directions when it comes to that. And then live a life that is inviting. And when you do, you will find that people will indeed come to you asking that in the midst of whatever trouble that you have, how can you still have faith? And you're thinking to yourself, where would I be without my faith? I'd be a wreck if I didn't have my faith. That's the kind of thing that you can share with others. That's what the faith that you have that draws on the strength that the Lord provides. You see, we need to remember, like Paul said in Ephesians, that God created in us, in Christ Jesus, to do good works. You see, Jesus has already taken care of getting us into heaven. In turn, this is how we respond, and that's all God is asking us to do. And so part of inviting that, part of the doing that, doing good works, is inviting others to sit at the same table that you and I will be feasting at. Think about it this way. Who knows how many God will add to his number through you? How many more will be kneeling next to you at the communion rail, receiving a foretaste of the feast to come? Think about those words when those are said. And why will they come running to you? Well, listen again to Isaiah's words. Because the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Indeed he has, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.